Warning, you are about to listen to a life-changing session of the Think and Grow Rich Global Mastermind podcast. Any mind-blowing income, health, happiness, and otherwise earth-shattering testimonials of total transformation are not meant to serve as a guarantee of what will happen in your life as you continue to plug into this podcast. Rather, they're meant to give you an idea of what's possible. Bear in mind, results are not guaranteed, they are earned. Be forewarned, common side effects of listening to this podcast may include increased mental alertness, random and unexplained feelings of joy, a crystal clear sense of purpose in life, spontaneous outbursts of laughter, obscene amounts of new and exciting monetary deposits, and other ridiculously awesome symptoms of living a purpose-filled life. Please enjoy the show.
Are you giving life your best and connecting with people of like mind? Benjamin F. Fairless said, "What is the recipe for successful achievement? In my mind, there are just four essential ingredients. Choose a career you love, give it the best there is in you, seize your opportunities, and be a member of the team." What's up, moneymakers? This is Maharon Tucker in Atlanta, GA, and you're on the Think and Grow Rich call. Our talented founder, Mr. Paul Hutchings, will be with us shortly. But for now, tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Good morning, Mahara. Larry and Wendy, McKinney, Texas.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Adele from Long Island, New York.
Hi, Adele. How are
Good
things
morning.
In New York?
Oh, absolutely great. Absolutely great. Thank you for asking.
Great to have you on the call.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Good morning. Lori from Wenatchee.
Hi, Lori. It was
okay,
great
hello.
Meeting you, and welcome to the call.
Terry,
who is that?
Terry from Arkansas.
Hi, Terry. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. Here it's Alicia in Atlanta.
Hey, Alicia. What's happening?
Bill Murdoch in Carrollton, Georgia.
Hi, Bill Murdoch.
Hey, babe. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Hey, Maharis. Tracy from California.
Hey, Tracy. Good morning.
Good morning, sweetie.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mara and Mano from Dallas.
Hey, Manuel. Great to hear your voice, and we're ready to get rolling.
Steve in Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Was that Steve?
Yep, it was.
Hey, Steve. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Harris.
Chanel in California.
Was that Chanel Child?
Yeah, it's Chanel in California.
Welcome to the call.
Morning, Harris. It's Tony, the man of steel.
Tony, the man of steel. We're glad you're with us, man.
Hey, Harris. It's Joel in Idaho.
Hey, Joel. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Amy in Las Vegas.
Hey, Andre. Hey, Amy. Two of my favorite people. Welcome to the Think and Grow Rich call.
Hey, Mahara. It's Steve in Virginia.
Steve?
Yes.
We are so glad you're with us, Steve. Welcome to the call.
Amy from New Jersey. Coffee Licious.
How are you doing?
Coffee Licious.
Richard from Arkansas.
Arnita in Columbus, good morning.
Hey, beautiful Arnita, good morning.
Good morning, Kathy Early from Idaho.
Hey, Kathy Early, welcome to the call. Who else is with us this morning?
Good morning, Minera. Elizabeth from Virginia.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Beautiful day here.
It's a beautiful day here as well, love.
Good morning, Nicole from Miami.
Hi, Nicole. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Aloha. Aloha.
What's happening, Elliot?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Good morning.
Frank from Delaware.
Hey, Frank.
Good morning.
Great to hear your voice, man.
Thanks, Mahara.
This is what I call part of seizing are opportunities and being a member of a team. You are connected with some powerful, amazing people. That's why you're here.
Yes.
Good morning, Herbert Green from New York.
Hey, Herbert. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara. Charity from New York.
Hi, Charity. Good morning.
How you doing?
I am on fire this morning.
Great, great.
Good morning, Mahara.
Good morning,
Carol from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Baron Seth from South Carolina.
Good morning in Arizona. Good morning in South Carolina.
Morning, Larry. Coach Boston.
Hey, Larry.
Josh from Kansas.
Hey, Josh. What's happening?
Got Deb and Steph from Nashville, Tennessee.
Good morning in Nashville.
Super Duper Stan and Tyrone from North Carolina.
Hey, Super Duper Stan. Good morning, Tyrone.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Allison Lockter, Jersey.
Allison?
Good morning.
Oh, good morning. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to the Think and Grow Rich call. It is wonderful Wednesday, May 13th, 2015. It is, just in case you didn't know, another great day to be alive, isn't it? Awake, aware, enthusiastic, looking off into the future, learning, growing, studying laws of success, growing together as a mastermind community, plugging in with people all throughout the world who are fired up on this Wednesday morning, excited to be alive, excited about the opportunities that we all have before us to learn, take action, apply, have a positive effect and influence on ourselves, our families, and the people around us as we continue to step forward into the beautiful future that we all have waiting for us. I tell you what, that's something that gets me excited every morning, and I'm curious, does that excite you? Are you excited to be alive? Are you excited to have this gift of life? Are you excited to learn today? Are you excited to grow today? Are you excited to set your hand to the plow and do the best you can to make today just a little bit better than yesterday? If you are, my friends, I want to hear you scream with excitement, enthusiasm, as you think about freedom and what we're doing together on this call. Let's go ahead and hear your battle cry on this wonderful Wednesday morning as I unmute the lines right now. Well, I sure appreciate it. I appreciate you guys being here. I appreciate you being a special type of person. You know, it never ceases to amaze me that we have, I think I checked the stats yesterday. We had like 198 live callers dialing in on a weekday morning. And, you know, we also have the replay that plays for 24 hours after the live call. And I talked to a lot of people, through email and chat and just various times. And I run into people at different events. And there's a lot of people I know who dial into the replay. So who knows how many lives and families and futures we are together affecting on a daily basis through this mastermind community. I have a feeling that if we could see the ripples out into the lake, it would surprise us how far they go. So just know that you're having an impact. Know that you're a special type of person who would pick up the phone and dial into a call like this. I believe the fact that you're here means that you are special, you are unique. I believe it means that you've got the desire for a better life. And as Wallace Wattles teaches in The Science of Getting Rich, he said, desire to do something greater is proof that you have the ability to do something greater. That's what Wallace Wattles said. So the fact that you're here desiring something better for your life, I believe that means that it's proof that you have the ability to do it, and all you and I need to do is continue to hold to the thought of that which we want, continue to persist, and continue on a daily basis to learn and grow, tweak and twist our plan, tweak and twist our strategy, and just continue stepping forward. So I appreciate you guys for being here. Hey, we're gonna jump right into our call this morning. We've got our definite major purpose and our self-confidence formula that we go through every morning that keeps us on track, keeps us centered, reminds us of our purpose and why we're here. And then we're going to jump into our study today as we continue to learn about the law, the habit of doing more than paid for, a.k.a. going the extra mile. So let me check the lines real quick. Hold on one second. Hold on. And if I recall correctly, I believe Steve Soaring Eagle Sears was coming out yesterday. Steve, are you here this morning? Star 6 and jump out if you're here.
Hey, Paul, I'm here.
Hey, that was you yesterday, wasn't it?
That was me.
Awesome. How you doing this morning, man?
Man, I'm doing great. So blessed.
So good to hear your voice. You're an inspiration, man. I so appreciate you.
All right. We are ready to roll.
Let's do it.
My major definite purpose, by the first day of 2015, I have in my possession, which comes to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In exchange for this, I give the most efficient service of which I am capable, rendering the fullest possible quantity and best possible quality of service in the capacity of. I believe I have this in my possession. My faith is so strong, I now see this before my eyes. I clearly see it available in my account. It now awaits transfer to me at the time and in the proportion that I deliver the service I intend to render for it. I am waiting and ready for a plan by which to accumulate this, and I follow this plan as it is received. Self-confidence formula. First, I know I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action toward its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. Second, I realize the dominating thoughts of my mind reproduce themselves in outward physical action and transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I consistently concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. Third, I know through the principle of auto-suggestion, any desire I persistently hold in my mind eventually seeks expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I devote 10 minutes daily demanding of myself the development of self-confidence. Fourth, I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I never stop trying, and I shall develop sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. Fifth, I fully realize no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I engage in no transaction which does not benefit all whom it affects. I succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity, because I know a negative attitude toward others can never bring me success. I cause others to believe in me because I believe in them and in myself. I sign my name to this formula, commit it to memory, and repeat it aloud once a day with full faith. It influences my thoughts and actions to guarantee I become a self-reliant, generous, confident, decisive, intentional, successful, and faithful person. Amen.
Amen, Steve Soaring Eagle Sears. Those were some great adjectives you threw in there at the end, and it's a reminder that we can become whoever and whatever we want to become. We can instill in ourselves the qualities of character that we decide we want to have, and I love how you're designing that out. Appreciate that. Steve's a family man. He's a businessman. He's a freedom fighter. He's stepping forward in his life, and Steve, you inspire me. You really do. I believe in you, and friends, if you believe in Steve, hold on. If you believe in Steve, let's let him know real quick because I unmute the lines right now.
Okay.
You know, some of my leaders always remind me that we should always celebrate others the way that we wish to be celebrated, and I believe that we should believe in others also the way that we wish to be believed in. So thank you guys and gals for expressing that to Steve. I believe the mirror of life will send back to you in proportion as that which you put out. So with that, let's go ahead and get to work here, guys. We are in the Law of Success. We're on page 671 of 1170 in the ebook copy. We're in the law, the habit of doing more than paid for. And real quick, recap. Number one, definite purpose. Number two, self-confidence. Number three, the habit of savings. Number four, initiative and leadership. Number five, imagination. Number six, enthusiasm. Number seven, self-control. And we're now on law number eight, or lesson eight, the habit of doing more than paid for. Always good to review, isn't it? All right, let's jump into this. Dr. Hill writes, oh, and then also, if you're new to the call, Dr. Hill started the chapter with talking about love and how important it is that we love the labor that we engage in, right, that we love the labor we engage in. And then he explained how he invested 25 years of his life without pay studying people, successful people, unsuccessful people, and organizing this philosophy of success for 25 years before he received a dime. And then, obviously, it began to pay off in very big terms, both monetarily and otherwise. So here we go. With this background of history concerning the law of success philosophy as a whole, and this lesson in particular, you are better prepared to accept as sound the law on which this lesson is based. There are more than a score of sound reasons why you should develop the habit of performing more service and better service than that for which you are paid, despite the fact that a large majority of the people are not rendering such service. There are two reasons, however, for rendering such service which transcend in importance all the others, namely, first, by establishing a reputation as being a person who always renders more service and better service than that for which you are paid, you will benefit by comparison with those around you who do not render such service. And the contrast will be so noticeable that there will be keen competition for your services, no matter what your life work may be. Isn't that a good thought, to know that to be sought after in the marketplace, all we have to do is be the best, right? Go the extra mile, deliver more service than that which we're paid for, and people will literally seek us out. There's a quote here on the preceding page. Let me hit this before we continue on. It says, "If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you," close quote. Continuing on, "It would be an insult to your intelligence to offer proof of the soundness of this statement, because it is obviously sound. Whether you are preaching sermons, practicing law, writing books, teaching school, or digging ditches, you'll become more valuable and you will be able to command greater pay the minute you gain recognition as a person who does more than that for which he is paid. Second, by far the most important reason why you should render more service than for that which you are paid, a reason that is basic and fundamental in nature, may be described in this way. Suppose that you wish to develop a strong right arm, and suppose that you try to do so by tying the arm to your side with a rope, thus taking it out of use and giving it a long rest. Would disuse bring strength? Or would it bring atrophy and weakness, resulting finally in your being compelled to have the arm removed? You know that if you wished a strong right arm, you could develop such an arm only by giving it the hardest sort of use. Take a look at the arm of a blacksmith if you wish to know how an arm may be made strong. Out of resistance comes strength. The strongest oak tree of the forest is not the one that is protected from the storm and hidden from the sun, but it is the one that stands in the open where it is compelled to struggle for its existence against the winds and rains and the scorching sun. It is through the operation of one of nature's unvarying laws that struggle and resistance develop strength. And the purpose of this lesson is to show you how to harness this law and so use it that it will aid you in your struggle for success. By performing more service and better service than that for which you are paid, you not only exercise your service rendering qualities and thereby develop skill and ability of an extraordinary sort, but you build reputation that is valuable. If you form the habit of rendering such service, you will become so adept in your work that you can command greater remuneration than those who do not perform such service. You will eventually develop sufficient strength to enable you to remove yourself from any undesirable station in life, and no one can or will desire to stop you. If you are an employee, you can make yourself so valuable through this habit of performing more service than that for which you are paid that you can practically set your own wages and no sensible employer will try to stop you. If your employer should be so unfortunate as to try to withhold from you the compensation to which you are entitled, this will not long remain as a handicap because other employers will discover this unusual quality and offer you employment. The very fact that most people are rendering as little service as they can possibly get by with serves as an advantage to all who are rendering more service than that for which they are paid, because it enables all who do this to profit by comparison. You can get by if you render as little service as possible, but that is all you will get. And when work is slack and retrenchment sets in, you will be one of the first to be dismissed. For more than 25 years, I have carefully studied men with the object of ascertaining why some men achieve noteworthy success, some men and women achieve noteworthy success, while others with just as much ability do not get ahead. And it seems significant that every person whom I have observed applying this principle of rendering more service than that for which he was paid was holding a better position and receiving more pay than those who merely performed sufficient service to get by with. Personally, I never received a promotion in my life that I could not trace directly to recognition that I had gained by rendering more service and better service than that for which I was paid. I am stressing the importance of making this principle a habit as a means of enabling an employee to promote himself to a higher position with greater pay, for the reason that this course will be studied by thousands of young men and young women who work for others. However, this principle applies to the employer or to the professional man or woman just the same as to the employee. Observance of this principle brings a twofold reward. First, it brings the reward of greater material gain than that enjoyed by those who do not observe it. And second, it brings that reward of happiness and satisfaction which come only to those who render such service. If you receive no pay except that which comes in your pay envelope, you are underpaid, no matter how much money that envelope contains. I'm going to read that again. If you receive no pay except that which comes in your pay envelope, you are underpaid, no matter how much money that envelope contains. You know, just a quick little illustration of that. Yesterday, I got a thank you. Actually, my friend and partner, Mike Hobbs, and I got a thank you from several of our team members, one of them being Kimberly Skinner, someone who's on this call every day, contributing, showing up, delivering value. And to describe the feeling in my heart when I saw that message of thank you and other messages, right? Just think about times when people see you doing something and they express gratitude. The feeling in your heart when that gratitude comes is a little bit different than the feeling when maybe you see the money deposited into your bank account, isn't it? If you receive no pay except that which comes in your pay envelope, you are underpaid, no matter how much money that envelope contains. Continuing on, my wife has just returned from the public library with a book for me to read. The book is entitled Observation, Every Man His Own University by Russell H. Conwell. By chance, I opened this book at the beginning of the chapter entitled Every Man's University, and as I read it through, my first impulse was to recommend that you go to the public library and read the entire book. But upon second thought, I will not do this. Instead, I will recommend that you purchase the book and read it, not once, but 100 times, because it covers the subject of this lesson as though it had been written for that purpose, covers it in a far more impressive manner than I could do it. The following quotation from the chapter entitled Every Man's University will give you an idea of the golden nugget of truth to be found throughout the book. Quote, "The intellect can be made to look far beyond the range of what men and women ordinarily see, but not all the colleges in the world can alone confer this power. This is the reward of self-culture. Each must acquire it for himself, and perhaps this is why the power of observing deeply and widely is so much oftener found in those men and those women who have never crossed the threshold of any college but the University of Hard Knocks." Close quote. Read that book as a part of this lesson because it will prepare you to profit by the philosophy and psychology upon which the lesson is built. We will now analyze the law upon which this entire lesson is founded, namely, the law of increasing returns. Anytime someone says we're about to study a law, don't your ears perk up and your eyes widen? You're like, all right, goody, here we go. We got a law, right? We got a law we're going to study. All right, so here we go. The law of increasing returns. Let us begin our analysis by showing how nature employs this law in behalf of the tillers of the soil. The farmer carefully prepares the ground, then sows his wheat and waits, while the law of increasing returns brings back the seed he has sown, plus a many-fold increase. But for this law of increasing returns, man would perish, because he could not make the soil produce sufficient food for his existence. There would be no advantage to be gained by sowing a field of wheat if the harvest yield did not return more than was sown. With this vital tip from nature, which we may gather from the wheat fields, let us proceed to appropriate this law of increasing returns and learn how to apply it to the service we render, to the end that it may yield returns in excess of and out of proportion to the effort put forth. First of all, let us emphasize the fact that there is no trickery or chicanery connected with this law. Although quite a few seem not to have learned this great truth, judging by the number who spend all of their efforts trying to get something for nothing or something for less than its true value. It is to no such end that we recommend the use of the law of increasing returns. For no such end is possible within the broad meaning of the word success. Another remarkable and noteworthy feature of the law of increasing returns is the fact that it may be used by those who purchase service with as great returns as it can be by those who render service, for proof of which we have but to study the effects of Henry Ford's famous $5 a day minimum wage scale, which he inaugurated some years ago. Those who are familiar with the facts say Mr. Ford was not playing the part of a philanthropist when he inaugurated this minimum wage scale, but to the contrary, he was merely taking advantage of a sound business principle which has probably yielded him greater returns in both dollars and goodwill than any other single policy ever inaugurated at the Ford plant. By paying more wages than the average, he received more service and better service than the average. At a single stroke through the inauguration of that minimum wage policy, Ford attracted the best labor on the market and placed a premium upon the privilege of working in his plant. I have no authentic figures at hand bearing on the subject, but I have sound reason to conjecture that for every $5 Ford spent under this policy, he received at least $7.50 worth of service. I have also sound reason to believe that this policy enabled Ford to reduce the cost of supervision because employment in his plant became so desirable that no worker would care to run the risk of losing his position by soldiering on the job or rendering poor service. where other employers were forced to depend upon costly supervision in order to get the service to which they were entitled and for which they were paying, Ford got the same or better service by the less expensive method of placing a premium upon employment in his plant. And there's a quote here on the preceding page. Let me read this. It says, "Ultimately, nothing matters very much. The defeat that seems to break your heart today will be but a ripple among the waves of other experiences in the ocean of your life further ahead." Continuing on, Marshall Field was probably the leading merchant of his time in the great and the Great Field Store in Chicago stands as a monument to his ability to apply the law of increasing returns. A customer purchased an expensive lace waist at the Field Store but did not wear it. 2 years later, she gave it to her niece as a wedding present. The niece quietly returned the waist to the Field Store and exchanged it for other merchandise. Despite the fact that it had been out for more than 2 years and was then out of style. Not only did the Field Store take back the waist, but what is of more importance, it did so without argument. Of course, there was no obligation, moral or legal, on the part of the store to accept the return of the waist at that late date, which makes the transaction all the more significant. The waist was originally priced at $50, and of course, it had to be thrown onto the bargain counter and sold for whatever it would bring. But the keen student of human nature will understand that the Field Store not only did not lose anything on the waist, but actually profited by the transaction to an extent that cannot be measured in mere dollars. The woman who returned the waist knew that she was not entitled to a rebate. Therefore, when the store gave her that to which she was not entitled, the transaction won her as a permanent customer. But the effect of the transaction did not end here. It only began, for this woman spread the news of the fair treatment she had received at the Field Store far and near. It was the talk of the women of her set for many days, and the Field Store received more advertising from the transaction than it could have purchased in any other way with 10 times the value of the waste. The success of the Field Store was built largely upon Marshall Field's understanding of the law of increasing returns, which prompted him to adopt as part of his business policy the slogan, "The customer is always right." When you do only that for which you are paid, there is nothing out of the ordinary to attract favorable comment about the transaction. But when you willingly do more than that for which you are paid, your action attracts the favorable attention of all who are affected by the transaction and goes another step toward establishing a reputation that will eventually set the law of increasing returns to work in your behalf, for this reputation will create a demand for your services far and wide. And, wow, I think that's a great place for us to pause, my friends, and jump into the mastermind portion of the call. I am excited about the law of increasing returns, and I think as we understand this on a deeper level, what can start to happen is, and rather than like looking around and trying to figure out, you know, how can we make the most money for the least amount of effort? Which, hey, listen, I don't blame us for for thinking that, right? I mean, when I originally got in home business, it was the idea that, man, I could be making 20, 30, 40 grand a month and not do a dang thing. I mean, that, hey, that's a pretty attractive idea, right? So, you know, definitely not, you know, scorning or criticizing anyone for wanting to make the most amount of money doing the least amount of effort. But I think there's a little bit of a danger with that as well, because if this is true, if the law of increasing returns is true, then it would seem that the better work we do, now not necessarily the more, right, because still in the home business, part of the attraction, and if you're building a traditional business as well, part of the attraction is to make a lot more money with lesser amount of work, right? And I think we can apply the law of increasing returns. I don't think that it means that we have to work 14-hour days, right? Napoleon Hill didn't say we had to work 14-hour days. What he said was we have to apply better quality. We have to over-deliver. We have to go the extra mile and serve the people that we're serving in the best way possible. And with technology and systems and leverage, that doesn't necessarily equate to more hours. It just means we have to do a better job at the work that we're doing. And I think that's a great thought. And I want to share just two little examples from my life, and then we'll jump into the mastermind portion of the call. I mentioned this on the call a month or so ago. There was one day where I was, we've got this Amazon Prime account. My wife, she loves shopping at Amazon, and for good reason, right? If you ever have a problem with Amazon, all you have to do is send it back, and they'll refund you. Like, usually, like, no questions asked. They're so good about it. Sometimes they'll even send you, like, extra stuff to compensate for whatever issue you had. And so my wife loves shopping at Amazon, and so we've got this Amazon Prime account where we get some of our, TV shows and movies. Sometimes when we watch movies, we watch them through this Amazon Prime account. And there was one day my wife and I were doing some shopping in town, and just out of, I think we were going to rent a Netflix movie or something, and out of passing, she mentioned something that Amazon had done. And what she told me, it literally blew me away. I couldn't even believe it, hardly. She said, remember when we got that movie from Amazon Prime a couple of weeks ago and we were having a little bit of trouble with the download speed? Like, it kept stopping and pausing through the movie, and I was like, yeah. And she said, out of the blue, Amazon sent her an email or a message and said, dear customer, we noticed that this movie that you rented from our Amazon Prime wasn't loading as it should have been, so we have gone ahead and refunded your account. I couldn't believe that. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, we didn't call them. We didn't send them any messages. Just out of the blue, they noticed that there was an issue. They decided to just go ahead and refund it without even being asked. What do you think that does for my opinion and estimation of Amazon? Do you think that makes me want to do business with Amazon again? Oh, my gosh, it really does, right? And in the contrast, we're just having this experience recently where we got this. You know, I live out in the country, and if you guys have been on the call for a while, you know that every once in a while, like, I'll drop off the call, and, like, it's because I dial through internet. Our phone service is through the internet, so our internet's kind of choppy. So we are testing these different internet services, and I got this one wireless internet service where I paid for this box to set up in my house to test out the internet service. And basically what it was is they gave me 6 months of service for whatever I paid, and then after that it was going to go to a month-to-month basis. And I said, all right, I'll test this out. Well, the internet was not good. So we just, like, after 3 or 4 months, we just set the box aside and decided we're not going to use this internet. Well, lo and behold, I get this message yesterday or a couple days ago in the mail from a collections agency saying that I'm delinquent on my payments for like $160 or something, which should be 4 months worth of service. And I was like, this is what, really? 4 months delinquent? Never received a bill, never received a call from this internet company that was supposed to go month to month after I get, after I have my 6 months of service. So I call them and they're like, oh yeah, we have the wrong address, which was interesting because in order for me to get the internet in the first place, I had to give them my address so that they would know where I live to know if the internet service would cover. And anyway, long story short, they charged me for 4 months of the month-to-month internet without ever calling me, without ever sending me any notice, right? And then when I call them to talk about it, they're not very willing to work with me. They just want me to pay the 4 months. So I may end up going ahead and pay the 4 months, but what does that do for my opinion of that company? And how am I going to talk about that company? Am I going to want to do business with them in the future? When I talk to my friends and family about this service, what tree is going to grow from the seeds that company is planting in my mind and heart versus the tree that is going to grow from the seeds that Amazon is planting in my mind and in my heart, right? Great examples, I think, of what Dr. Napoleon Hill is teaching us. So, guys, I'm excited to hear your thoughts. Let's go ahead and jump into the mastermind portion of the call. Keep in mind, this is not a company-specific call, so please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless the leaders are a part of our mastermind community, and brevity and relevance always appreciated in your comments. One moment, please. Star 6, who's first? Come on out.
Hey, Paul, it's Amber.
What's up, Amber, in Key West?
Hello, good morning. So, you know, you were talking about how when we go the extra mile and we do something that has nothing to do with our paycheck, you know, and people notice or people, you know, you said people see us doing it. But I just want to give this example. Last month here in Key West, this is a little bit of a downer, but it ends nicely. We had a horrible tragedy in which one of our, you know, community children, a 14-year-old boy, was killed by a freak accident with a pellet gun. And it was just devastating to just all of everybody here, you know. And there was a funeral for him at the basilica. We have a basilica here. And I went, of course, with my daughter. All the kids were there. The fire, entire Key West Fire Department was there. All the paramedics in town. The FSU baseball team flew in and landed in the Boca Chica Navy station. It was just, it was a really, he was such a special boy. And we have, my daughter had this bear, the stuffed teddy bear, you know, and it was life size. It was bigger than you, Paul, like three thicknesses of you and life size. It was just this humongous bear that my husband had bought her, and we had, you know, I was like, oh, my God. So we've had it for a while, and I really wanted to do something with it because usually they set up memorials with teddy bears and stuff, and there was nothing. I couldn't find one. So I drove around with this bear in the backseat of my car for like 5 days waiting for the plan to be revealed to me because I knew I had to do something with him. And I had written a poem about Jonathan, and he was a baseball player and all this stuff, and I attached it to the bear's wrist with a red ribbon and a picture of Jonathan. And I snuck over to the basilica like way before the funeral started. There was 2,000 people at the funeral. I mean, streets were closed. I snuck over there early in the morning, and I placed the bear right in the nook of this like giant oak tree that faced towards the church, and there was seating all outside. So he was facing all the seating and all inside the church, because the church is all open air. You know, all the doors are wide open. It's indoor, outdoor. And I just left him there, and I never even crossed my mind to put my name on it, but I put a sticky note that I wanted it to go to this girl, Madison, who was Jonathan's, you know, best friend and little girlfriend. So I was really thinking about her. Anyway, I didn't know if anybody was ever going to see the bear. I left the funeral a few minutes early. I thought about it all night because it was raining here, and I went to check on him the next morning, and he was gone, and that was it. You know, I didn't even think anything about it. But then a couple days later, Madison, the girl, posted on Instagram a picture of her with the bear right after the funeral, and she was smiling. She said it was the nicest thing anyone had ever done for her in her entire life. And then this morning, just real quick, I went outside to take my daughter to school, and there was a card on my mailbox, and it was from Jonathan's parents. And they just wanted to thank me for such a thoughtful and nice gesture, and that I made their family happy with that thoughtful gift for Madison. And they took it on as if it was from their son to the girl. And they got to deliver it to her that night at 10 o'clock, and she was so surprised. They said it was perfect, and they know that Jonathan was very grateful and smiling. And I thought about that. It almost makes me cry because I didn't realize what I was doing, but now that I see this card, I see that like my act brought joy and happiness to this family that had just got done burying their son and the other girl. It brought them joy and happiness on the saddest day of their life. And I didn't even know that was going to happen, you know. I didn't put my name on it or anything. They found out it was me over my daughter's Instagram account. But I would have never otherwise even thought about saying it was from me. But, you know, so to me, I just got the gift back, realizing that I brought joy to these people on such a sad day for them. And that might be the only joy they have felt, you know, for a while. So I wanted to share that. I just got the card like an hour ago. So thanks for letting me share that.
Amber, wow, what a touching story, and what a great example of just how amazing human beings can be. Thank you so much for that. What a great Thanks. Example. Sure appreciate that.
Thanks, Paul.
Star 6, who's next? Everyone's speechless. star 6. Come on out. Have you guys had any experiences with this in your lives, in your business?
Paul Anthony from beautiful Clearwater, Florida.
And hey, good morning, Anthony.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. And Matt, what a wonderful story that was just shared. And what was it, Kimberly? Was her name Kimberly?
That was Amber. Amber.
Amber. Well, a beautiful story from Amber, because I know this law, and this law is so important, because if you actually have been a recipient of this law, it actually makes you feel special. Either if it comes from a company or a family member, you know, it actually gives you that touch that someone cares. And, you know, using this law, you know, in our daily lives are just so important. And not only in our daily lives, but also in our business. And I know you had mentioned before, Paul, that, you know, most of us in business, you know, we want to see the least amount of resistance in our business so that we can use, you know, to get the most amount of money. But, you know, using this law, it does take a little bit more work in the beginning. You know, that's one thing. But the payoffs are just so much more better, you know, as far as if we use this law as opposed to if we don't use this law. And sometimes using this law of going the extra mile, you know, that's what really separates, you know, the great companies from the companies that are not so great. You know, just this one aspect. And just like you pointed out, the difference between the internet service that you were talking about, Paul, and the actual Amazon account, you know, it puts that something in your mind of that company's special. And it makes you want to do business no matter what, even if you want to go somewhere else. Like in the back of your mind, you have an imprint of that company just doing that one little thing that, you know, that just touched you that day. And it just makes you want to do that much more business with them. But in the beginning, you know, this law, like you said, it is a lot more work. And, you know, we as business owners, we want to travel the path of least resistance and get the most money. And I mean, working smarter and not harder, that's what it is. But sometimes if we use this law, you know, this law of doing more than paid for, you know, I mean, it could bring back so much more dividends than just the actual paycheck, like you touched in the beginning. And, you know, if we actually look at the law and, you know, look at the basis of what it actually is that Napoleon Hill is talking about here, we're really talking about the law of compensation, that, you know, nothing that you do would ever go unnoticed. You know, something that you do would always be paid back tenfold than what you actually put it out into the universe to, you know, to the action that you perform. So I just wanted to add that, but definitely enjoy this wonderful information, and back to you, Paul.
I love it, Anthony. Great thoughts. And hey, Bill, if you could hold for just 1 second, I had a couple of thoughts I wanted to interject here that Anthony stirred up inside of me. You know, as you were talking, Anthony, I was reminded of Andrew Carnegie, who inspired the work that we study, right? He gave Napoleon Hill the assignment. And one of the interesting things about Andrew Carnegie is that he accumulated, it was said that he invested the first half of his life accumulating his fortune, and then he invested the next half of his life giving it away. And Napoleon Hill actually said at one point in one of his writings that it almost drove Andrew Carnegie insane at one point, trying to find ways that he could get rid of his money that would do people in society good and not harm them, right? So I think that's an interesting idea to realize that once people usually get wealth, one of the things that is first and foremost in their mind is giving back. I was talking to one of my entrepreneur friends the day before yesterday, and, you know, he had one of his family members that was making fun of him a little bit because he says that he's retired, because he did retire. He retired from his full-time profession, but now he works full-time on his passion, right? He's you know, developing these products to help people and teach people how to do what he did. And we were just talking about how it seems that once you get to a certain point financially, like in the beginning, sometimes it's like you're in water and you're drowning, and all you can think about is gasping for air, you know, financially speaking. All you can think about is just getting that money for yourself so that you don't have to worry about drowning. But once you get the air and you're like, wow, there's plenty of air up here, one of the thoughts that's on top of your mind is, what can I do to help other people find this air? What can I do to help other people, you know, get out of the situation that they're in? And if that's true, here's the point, how it relates. If that's true, then wouldn't it be wise to realize on our way there that it's not all about the bottom line. It's not all about how much profit can we suck out of someone, right? If we're going to get all this money and then realize, man, now we want to give back, why not just realize on the way there that, hey, let's just do the best we can on the way there and realize there are things that are, you know, important alongside of generating income, you know, like going the extra mile. And then the other thought is, you know, when you, in the beginning, in home business especially, because I know we get a lot of people on the call that are in home business, how do you go the extra mile in the beginning? Well, when you don't have a lot of money and you don't have a lot of resources, maybe you don't have a lot of skills yet, what do? You serve people. When a lead comes through your pipeline, you know what I did? I would get on the phone every day for an hour, and I would just connect with people. Sometimes people would need someone to talk to, so I would listen. I would give them an empathetic ear. I would really try to find out where they were going in life and see how can I help them, even if they weren't a fit for my business. I would try to figure out, is there some one thing that I can share with this person that will help them a little bit further, you know, on their journey in life? And that's how I did it, and it seemed to work. It seemed to work out great when I was doing that, talking to people, you know, connecting with people. So that's one way that you can go the extra mile if you're, you know, new to business and trying to find ways. How can I do that? Be a listening ear. Ask questions. Find out where people are trying to go and do the best you can to connect them with resources that can help them. So a couple of thoughts that were stirred in me. And one second. Bill Moody, Star 6, coming up, Bill.
Karen Elizabeth.
Karen Elizabeth. Yeah, if you could hold for just 1 second. Bill was waiting there. Bill, are you there?
No problem.
I'm here. Good morning, Paul. Good morning, family. You know, I want to suggest that going the extra mile really isn't that much more effort than average. You know, I discovered at a pretty young age that to be an average student took no effort. To be a B student took a little bit of effort. To be an A student took a little bit more effort. And to be average, to be whatever industry you're in, if you're average with your peers, whatever that peer group is, it's not very high standard. I mean, the American way today is to lay off workers, cut costs, give less and less service. That's what big corporations should do. And so to excel and to be above average is not really that much effort. For example, recently I had a problem. I had a recall on my truck, and it took 4 visits to the dealership, 8 phone calls, and then when they got done, it still wasn't fixed. Then I took my truck to a local garage, and it was kind of a hassle to drug park, and it took three trips to fix it. But it wasn't his fault. It was the dealership fault. And so the service writer wrote me a thank you note. You know how long it's been since I got a thank you note from anybody? I can't remember the last thank you note I've got. You know, and so when anybody asks about a local garage, I'm going to send them there, you know, because they actually care. You know, one last story is a dear friend of mine in high school appeared not to do more than the average. He got basically C's. He'd work until he got a C. Sometimes he'd get a B. Sometimes he'd get an A. He would skip school every week, sometimes every day. And then we would skip occasionally together, but I would always get in trouble, and he never would. And he would park his car right next to the principal's car in the front of the school, which was, quote, illegal. The teachers couldn't do that. I tried it one time, and before I was out of my car, a teacher came right across the parking lot. I said, you can't park there. And so I thought, how is this kid who's not really excelling, how can he do all this stuff? I mean, it just amazed me. But I realized here's all he did is that most of the kids dressed in jeans and T-shirts and casually. But my friend Stan, he dressed in nice slacks and nice shirt. He looked like a young teacher. And so because of the way he dressed and the way he acted, it just looked like he had the authority to do whatever he wanted. And so because he went above the average in his appearance, he had freedom to the rest of his I didn't do. So I encourage all of us to find just one thing we can do this week that's above average, and over time we will excel. So back to you, Paul. I love y'all.
I love it, Bill. I love it. Thank you notes. What a great example that we could all do, right? That probably not very many of us are doing. Thank you so much for that. Karen Elizabeth, good morning. It's been a while.
Simpson.
Good morning, Paul. It's so nice to be here. Pat, thank you for holding for me. I haven't been on the call in a while. And just been busy life and doing things. And I so appreciate this call. Of course, you know that, Paul. And everybody, I'm just so happy to be able to share a little something. I've learned from reading, you know, different books about the law of giving, and it's to give without reciprocity from the people that I enrich. And so the idea of it is to not only give physically, but give in your mind as you're giving. The story, one of the basic stories, and you probably read it, Paul, is a gentleman goes into a gentleman owns a grocery store, and a young man comes into the store and buys a penny worth of candy. And the thought that the man has about the boy is that one day this boy will come in and buy 5 pounds of candy or $5 worth of candy. And then a man comes in and he buys a pound of sugar. And the owner of the store had in his mind this law of giving. It was a mindset law. So it went the extra mile in belief for that man. And that's what you were saying, Paul. He said one day this man will come in and buy 20 pounds of sugar. And so by doing that and by believing for that person, it actually, in the vibration level or whatever you want to call it, it gave the impression to this little boy and to this man, this law of increase, that they would one day be greater. And he, in his heart, believed for them. And I think that that is a way of giving beyond just the money that you're receiving or the goods that they were receiving. The boy was receiving a penny worth of candy, but he was receiving so much more in value because of this man's belief in that person. And that was helpful to that boy. And that was helpful to that man. So that's basically what I wanted to share today. So back to you, and I'm looking forward to hearing what Paz has to say.
Hey, awesome thoughts, Karen Elizabeth. And, you know, as you were talking and sharing that idea, I had the thought, how do we think about our teams? All right, if those of us who are in home business, if you're in a traditional business, how do you think about your employees? Do you think that your team is going to produce the next $1 million earners in the company? Do you think that your team has people on it that are winning their freedom now? Or how do we look at our teams? And I think we can apply what Karen Elizabeth taught to the feelings and the thoughts that we have with the people that we're working with. So appreciate that, Karen Elizabeth. Pat, thanks for your patience. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. Paul, how are you on this wonderful Wednesday?
I'm awesome. How are you, Cass?
You know, I'm always so blessed and highly favored. I'm so blessed to get to go after Karen Elizabeth. Oh, I love her. Oh, man, and she just reinforced where I was going. I realized along the way that the most successful people in the world are the biggest givers. The more you can give, and you don't even see it. Sometimes when you're even at the bottom, you'll find yourself giving. When I was a child, you know, I got to grow up and still great friend now. Think about New Child when I was, you know, playing basketball. You know, he was one of the greatest point guards. And probably why he used to destroy all of us was because he was so willing to give the lesson. He was so willing to distribute all of this information that, you know, he picked up in his brain that we couldn't pick up from the coach, and he would still destroy us every day. As I grow older, I think about all of the other people, like my mom, you know, who didn't have much money, but she's given for 40 years, and she's had one of the more successful, happy lives being all over the world. And it's not always about money. What does success feel like to you? What does it really feel like? Because we all have a different journey, and you must truly define your success. Because as you take whatever is your home-based profession, whether it's your, you know, brick-and-mortar profession, whatever it is, it's just an extension of yourself. So the more ways you can find to give and attach people to giving with you, you'll find yourself being able to prosper and earn more. So I just thought about that and thought I should share that with you. And I just hope everybody has a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. I love you guys.
We love you, Pass. Such powerful thoughts. Thank you, my friend.
Sharon from New Jersey.
Hey, Sharon.
How are you? Good morning, family.
Napoleon Hill tells us, yesterday I was reading Success Through a Positive Mental Attitude, and a way for us to develop the habit of doing more for others is to remember that greatness is developed by a burning desire and how we need to keep positive. And there was one little passage, which is in Think and Grow Rich by Henley. He says, I am the master of my faith. I am the captain of my soul. It says that he could have informed us that we are the masters of our faith because we are masters first of our attitudes. So our attitudes shape our future. By going the extra mile and doing the habit of doing more, simple things just like saying thank you, I appreciate what you do, is what we can do to develop that little habit of doing more. That's my share.
Awesome, Sharon. Awesome. Thank you for that.
Hey, Paul. This is Frank from Delaware.
Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Paul, and good morning to my Think and Grow Rich family. I love you all. Seriously, I love all your comments. Thank you so much every day for everything that you do for this call. And you, Paul. Now, what I'm thinking about is this chapter in giving more than what is expected. Now, we have to remember something. We are learning to tap into another part of ourselves. It's a spiritual side. It's an energy side. If you don't believe in God, if you don't want to believe it's spiritual, then it's an energy side, and it's actually a part of ourselves. And when we practice this philosophy, after a while, we start to see how really it's another fulfilling part of ourselves, because it helps to create our futures. It helps to do amazing things when we're able to tap this ability. For ourselves to think about what we want out of this life, and we become co-creators with God, okay? So then when we think back on what it was that we were giving extra of, we realize that really this was just giving of ourselves, and society has set a standard, and they said, okay, you have to give this much for this much pay, and the society has set the standard for what is giving extra, but our bodies reach for perfection all the time. We reach for love. So really, we're just doing our natural inclination, because every person can reach for greatness by using this philosophy. And it might not be greatness in the world. It might be just greatness within ourselves and just our own personal journey, our own personal pathway. So really, we're just doing what is natural for the body to do, and that's to do everything great. And that's what we're trying to change about ourselves. We don't want to accept the societal norms of what is better. We want to reach for the best every time, because that's our natural inclination. That's the natural way that our bodies want to work. So really, we're just putting ourselves in cooperation with the path that we're following with the universe. And we just got to remember that and just always strive to get the best service. And that way, we'll easily flow into doing our own thing. And because we gave our previous employers or whatever, we gave them the best. We gave them what is humanly capable, not what the society said is necessary for them. So I hope you understand that. I did. Back to you, Paul. Thank you very much.
Appreciate that, Frank. Always great thoughts from you, my friend. Good stuff. Do great. Star 6 is next. We have 2 minutes left.
Gabrielle, Kansas.
Hey, Gabrielle. Good morning.
How are you, Paul?
Awesome. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. I'm maintaining the thought that today is a reality-changing day, and I'm a reality changer. And I want to share something, because this is awesome what we're talking about. It's reminding me of something I was speaking to someone about just yesterday in regard to a product. And this takes us back to the fact that each one of us even though we have a business, even though we have items that we're selling or we're proposing to people, we individually, before they see the product, before they gain an experience of the product, we individually are that experience. We're the gateway. And we actually have to give them the best experience that we can in order for them to even want to pursue the product any further. So if we realize that, I have someone ask me, you know, what's the difference in what you do and what I'm doing? Why am I not succeeding? And I ask them, you know, when you spoke about your product, how did you sound? Were you enthusiastic? Did you have fear? Did you believe in what you were telling them about? I said, I can't sell someone, for example, a BMW if I've never driven one or don't have one myself. So the experience, our personal experience is what's important. And we are, if we realize we are the product, then we won't have any problem telling others about what we want them to have because we're speaking from experience. So I just wanted to share that, and I appreciate your time. Paul, have a reality-changing day.
Gabrielle, powerful thoughts, and I appreciate the challenge to have a reality-changing day and appreciate you for enhancing my reality and everyone's reality on the call. Great thoughts, and maybe that's why Jim Rohn's mentor told him that success is something we attract by the people we become, by the person you become. And maybe that's why Jim Rohn always said, work harder on yourself than you do on your job or your business, right? Great thought. So, guys, hey, listen, I plan on going the extra mile today. I actually, a couple of ideas have bubbled up on specific things I need to do today to go the extra mile in my business, and hopefully those thoughts have bubbled up for you as well. And the other thought that was brought up during the mastermind is, how about go the extra mile within our families, within our homes, with our children, with our spouse? You know, what are we doing to help out around the house? Are we going the extra mile? Are we doing just enough to get by? I realize I've got some room for improvement in that area. So, guys, let's get better. Let's have an awesome day. Let's get out there and make it happen, and we'll see you all back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Bye for now. Have an awesome day, my friends.
Have an awesome day.
Oh, my
God.
How are you doing, my friend?
I love you guys.
Hey,
cool.
Everybody,
we see our possibilities.
Hey there, my friend, this is Paul Hutchings, and I want to thank you sincerely for listening to this week's edition of the Think and Grow Rich Call podcast. For more information on our community, to learn how you can listen to these calls daily and get the full panorama of all of the content and daily motivation and inspiration that we engage in, and to learn how you can connect with other like-minded entrepreneurs like yourself, feel free to visit our website, our home on the web at www.growrichaudios.com. Again, that's growrichaudios.com. And if you'd like to connect with me, feel free to visit my website, pipelinemoney.com. Again, that's www.pipelinemoney.com. Again, thanks for listening, and whatever you do, never give up on your dreams. Take care, and bye for now.